first, just like we did, we went back to the same meeting.
After the bridge, I mean? After the bridge?
Fourth one, the first two. Supposed to go on the way, I did. One, you got, fourth, the one, the second, first, and the third.
Oh,
now begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated as we now continue with our readings.
Our first reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the people. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And the nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your son shall come from afar, and your daughter shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult. Because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those of Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, praises of the Lord. Amen. Reading. Our second reading is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that is given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gifts of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given. To preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he had realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Here ends the reading. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
In the gospel lesson for the Epiphany of our Lord, we hear how a star led the Magi from the east to the house where Jesus was so that they could come and worship him. Reading from Matthew chapter 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Then assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly, and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, and frankincense. warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their country. This is the gospel of the Lord. Be seated for the next song.
Focus on a different gospel. This year is Series C. The Gospel is Luke. And so we focus on the Gospel of Luke. Our Advent text, we're all from Luke. And our Christmas Eve service was focused on the Gospel of Luke. And then right here today, Epiphany, January 6th. Right here in the midst of our text, what should be Luke isn't. It's Matthew. Matthew is what we have today. And Matthew is Series A. That's next year. That's not this year. That's not today. But there it is, like an uninvited guest showing up to someone else's party, right in the middle of the wrong lectionary series, we have the Gospel of Matthew. And looking at the text, we get kind of a similar sense reading the story, watching as the story unfolds. Jesus has been born. We've heard about it in Luke's Gospel. The shepherds came. The shepherds were one of the lowest jobs that you could possibly have in a Jewish society, but at least it was still Jewish, and they're still a Jew. But here it is, right in the middle of a Jewish place, looking for a Jewish king. In the Jewish capital, you find a couple of people that are very, very non-Jewish. They didn't fit in. They didn't look like Jews, and even the way they talked wasn't Jewish. Most Jews don't look to the stars for guidance. They looked, especially at this time, towards history, towards tradition and scripture. Even Matthew really didn't know how to describe them. Our text actually has the word magi in it. Now, what is a magi? Many of our texts, even the gospel reading in the ESV, has wise men. That's a common thing that we're used to hearing. It comes out in our music and otherwise. But Matthew, for Matthew, magi is just a transliteration of a Greek word. The word simply means, I guess probably the best equivalent would be magician. Now that's not to say that they were not intelligent. That's not to say that they were, you know, somehow not intelligent. They were. They obviously studied the stars. They knew when one came up that wasn't normally there. They knew that for whatever reason that the star led them to the Jews. And being intelligent people, they knew that if a new king was to be born, he would probably be found in the capital, that is, Jerusalem. Thinking about all that, they certainly were wise. But that's not how they're being presented here. Matthew is writing to a particular Jewish audience, and to that audience, an audience who took Scripture very seriously, the only one who was wise was to be found, was the one who found wisdom in the Scriptures. To be called a magician is not necessarily a good thing. To be a magician meant that you tried to obtain power outside of God. Not just any power, but special power. Power to look into the future. Power to interpret things. In the book of Daniel, when the king needs an interpreter, he calls the magicians, the sorcerers. Maybe Matthew just calls them magicians because he doesn't understand them. Or maybe he calls them because of where they are looking for wisdom, mainly in the stars. But either way, God places a star there for them to see. A star there for them to interpret and to understand. But the magicians still have no knowledge of scriptures. And so they go to the most obvious place to find a king. They go to the kingdom that's in the capital city. There's only one problem. There's already a king there. And he most certainly was not just born. And so the king asked the scribes to pinpoint exactly where it is this child is to be found. And after all of this, after they find it, and as the magi go out again, the star reappears as they seek the child. As they go to seek out Christ, so these very, very non-Jewish people are shown a star by God, and they seek out Christ, the king. Christ is born, and now even the Gentiles, that is, the unclean, the pagans, even they have been made aware. And that's good news. That's good news for us. That's good news because here in this text, we see that the news of Christ was not just for the Jews. It was not just for the people that were there gathered around the temple, but it was also for those that had nothing. The birth of Christ is also for those who have no knowledge maybe not so much in Matthew, at least not this year. We'll wait until next year and we'll read more of Matthew. But this year, we'll read more in the Gospel of Luke. We will see that Christ came for these magicians as well. The message of Christ calls out to all peoples. It calls out to those who are lost and those who are knee-deep in sin. They don't know what to do. This message of Christ calls out to those trying to gain through anything else. And what is the message? What is the message that calls out to all people? Does it tell the person to keep on doing what they're doing? Does the message tell them that it's all okay, that there are many ways to heaven? Does the message say that sin is not a problem? No. The message instead says come. The message points to Christ and says that he is the way, the only way. The message that Christ paid the price for your sins, that he hung on the cross for the bad and the evil that you have done. That Christ, through his death and resurrection, gives you that which on your own you can never find, that you can never grasp. Something that all the power in the world would not give you one step closer towards. He gives to you eternal life through faith. And this is good news. But it's not just for us. It's not just for us that have gathered here. It's the message of Christ Jesus, and it is a message that is a light to all the Gentiles, to all people. It is the good news that we proclaim to others, to those that are outside of our doors. It is the good news of Jesus, the very Son of God, and him be the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, be your hearts, your minds, in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us now stand, and if you would join me in a word of prayer, as we confess our sins before God our Father. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, we come before you this day, and we are sinful and unclean. Lord, we have sinned in our thoughts, our words, our actions, our deeds. And Lord, we come before you to confess our sins before you and to seek mercy and forgiveness, not for our sake, but for the sake of Jesus Christ. Hear us now as we take a moment of silence to pour out our sins before you. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you and for his sake forgive you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We now confess our common faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated as we now invite up all of the church officers. Church policy, the example of the early Christian church, as this book of Acts, chapter 6. The 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve people. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Acts 6, verses 2. You have been chosen to fill specific offices and positions of responsibility at St. John's Lutheran Church. You are to work with the pastor that our life together in Christ may be orderly and pleasing in God's sight. While holiness of life and obedience to Christ are expected of all members of the congregation, it is especially important that you, as office bearers in the church, show yourselves by word and example to be faithful to Him in service and Christian devotion. In the presence of God and of this congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the offices entrusted to you, and do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to His word in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? If so, then answer, I do.
I do.
The congregation, beloved in the Lord, you have heard the promises of faithfulness spoken by these men and women who have selected to serve as offices of St. John's Lutheran Church. You promise to support them in their work, to remember them in your prayers, and to work with them to the best of the abilities that God has given you, so that He may be glorified and His work be done in our midst. If so, then answer, we do.
We do.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, I install you as officers of St. John's Lutheran Church in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty and most merciful God enlighten and strengthen you in your offices, that you may be good and faithful stewards of the glory of His name and the good of His people. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have raised up these servants for working among your people. We humbly implore you to grant them, by your Holy Spirit, those gifts needed for the faithful carrying out of their task, most especially wisdom, strength, and willing hearts. Let your blessing rest on this congregation, strengthen the faith, quicken the love, and enkindle the zeal of its members, that your name be glorified, and that here and in all places under heaven, the kingdom of your Son may be advanced. We remember with thanksgiving those who have faithfully served your people and have now completed their time of service. We pray that in the end of days, we, with all your faithful people, may hear the voice of Christ saying, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Through Jesus Christ, the Son of our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now, go in the name of the Lord, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Almighty and merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you all for coming up. Just one request, as you guys begin to head back to your seats, if you could give us your name and what office you have in, that you will be serving.
Senior Elder. Charlie Bear, Senior Elder. Scott Frederick, Trustee.
Lou Block, and Jerry Kosher.
Carol Brown, Financial Secretary.
Don Lutz, Elder.
We now continue our service with our gifts and our offerings. If you can find that book on the side, the Book of Friendship, if you could sign that and get to know people there.
this feast of the Epiphany, we remember that you set the Christmas star in the heavens to guide the Magi to your Son. Guide us to him by your word, that we too may bow down and worship him as our Lord, Savior, and King. Like the wise men, use us as missionaries to make this incredible Christmas gift of your love known where we are, using whatever abilities you have given us. Lord God, bless our soldiers, sailors, and airmen fighting for our nation at home and in distant lands. Keep them safe from all harm and danger, and grant that they may execute their services faithfully, that peace and good order may be maintained and preserved in our country. Bless our families who wait for them at home. God, our healer and comforter, although none of our members are in the hospital at this time, we remember those who have various illnesses, chronic illnesses, fibromyalgia, multiple sclerosis, depressions, migraines, and other health issues that do not have easy answers or relief. That you would give them strength for each day and hope for the future. We also pray for caregivers that they may have the energy they need and that they find refreshment in you. Lord of Marriage, we rejoice with Jim and Pat Fairchild and Bill and Lila Anderson. We'll be celebrating their wedding anniversaries this week. Please bless Jim and Pat, Bill and Lila, that they remain faithful to you and to each other. Praise and thanksgiving be to you for blessing Jean Schaefer with another year of life as she celebrates her 94th birthday today. Tell Jean today to give thanks for all the blessings you have bestowed upon her throughout her life. As we pray daily for families of our congregation, we offer special petitions for the Fairchild, the Flexenhar, and the Flyer families, that you would keep them in your loving care. All these prayers we bring to you, Father God, in the name of your Son, our newborn Savior, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you and